So let me set the tone for today's program. Gail Devers said, keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, and determination and dedication. Remember that all things are possible for those who believe. And Keith Weitch, our guest today, said, as an executive leader, you must be a person of integrity, vision, and values. This three-legged stool of leadership is so imperative that if any of the three is lacking, your effectiveness will be negatively impacted. Got that from his book, which we'll talk a little about today. By the way, today's show is brought to you by budgetpreneur.com. If you find you have little time and little money to invest in your business and you still need to get things done, don't stop putting it off. Go to budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase your revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. All right, let's get started. And by the way, if you're listening online and call in to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. We have a fantastic show for today. Our topic is, so you want to be a CEO. Here's the thing. Many people view the CEO job as one to aspire to and feel that achievement is the pinnacle of success. Our guest today has achieved that. And he will share today with us the rules of the corner office. So I ask you, are you ready to step up to senior leadership? See, the realities of executive life can be sobering if you aren't prepared for them. How you achieve results, how you're perceived, what's expected of you, even who your friends are. Nothing is the same as when you were in the middle ranks. As a 30-year corporate veteran and results-driven CEO, Keith Weitch will open the door to the corner office to introduce you to the previously hidden world of the C-suite and show you how to master the realities that every top executive must face, including these three things. Number one, what made you successful before won't work now. Keith will teach you the skill that you need at every outstanding senior executive needs. Number two, constructive conflict isn't bad. It's how things get done. Keith will give you his deep insights on how to work C-suite politics and effectively channel conflict so that it positions you and your organization for success. And three, tough decisions are a part of an executive's reality. Keith will show you how to make the hard calls even when they challenge your personal values or relationships. As I said, our guest is Keith Weitch, and I've told you just a little bit about him already, but let me tell you a little bit more about him. Keith Weitch is a results-driven, no-nonsense executive with more than 30 years' experience in the corporate world at such companies as IBM and Pitney Bowes. Most recently as CEO, he turned around Cub Food and Acme Markets, those are divisions of SuperValu, and led them to growth. As a nationally recognized public speaker, Weitch has delivered keynotes to such organizations as Harvard University, Northrop Grumman, Home Depot, GE, and more. Weitch was named CEO of the Year in 2010 by the Executive 50 Organization, a man of distinction by the National Urban League, as well as chosen as one of the top 50 under 50 corporate executives by Diversity MBA magazine. He is also an inductee in the Martin Luther King Jr. International Board of Renaissance Leaders. His newest book is Corner Office Rules, The 10 Realities of Executive Life. His first book, which I also devoured, is titled Good is Not Enough and Other Unwritten Rules for Minority Professionals. It was nominated for the 2009 NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literary Work, and it deserves it. That is a truly great book. But his new book, that's a total open kimono, and I'm ready to have him share that information with you. Are you ready? Welcome, Keith.
Yvonne, thank you so much for having me.
What was your motivation for writing this book?
You know, I grew up in corporate America in the late 70s, early 80s. And when I got in corporate America, Yvonne, there weren't a lot of people who looked like me or a lot of people willing to help people like me. And so I made myself a promise even then that if I ever got to any level of prominence in corporate America, I would do all I could to reach back and help groom and nurture and mentor that next level of leadership. And so my first book, as well as this book, was really dedicated to that transition from what I call success to significance.
Success to significance. I love that. Who is the main audience for the book, by the way?
The main audience for this book, Corner Office Rules, are young professionals of any race, creed, or color who are looking to become senior level executives, senior VP, EVP, CEO, COO, because what I have found is too often when we get into those roles, if you don't know some of these lessons I'm going to share with you, you will fail miserably because it's a totally different ballgame at that level.
I know it is. I know it is, and I read quite a few of those stories in your book. I found the examples of where a person used the same techniques they used that got them the promotion to that level and wound up getting themselves in trouble instead of...
Absolutely. What got you there won't keep you there.
That's for sure. Why are the rules different at the top?
The rules are different because the focus is different. At the top, you are really driving organizational success. It's no longer the success of your department or your division. It's organizational success. The other thing is, at that level, even though you may be a CEO, what have you, you aren't the person on the ground making the rules. So your goal is to set direction. And so, for example, you know, you will tend to not so much give orders, but listen and know how to ask the right questions to get the answers. And those are different skill sets that, you know, you typically don't develop early in your career because you're focused on performance and, you know, your goals and your objectives. And so for a lot of people, you have to make a switch in your thinking at that level. And then last but not least, the impact of politics is so much greater at the senior level. And if you're not politically savvy, you will be eaten alive.
You know, and some have been, as I've seen in the news more than once. So these rules being so important, why are they not taught in business school? Or why are they not taught in the workplace?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, those of us who are at the top are really busy people. So I will give the benefit of the doubt that most folks, you know, with the exception of the people they mentor or sponsor, don't share these rules. The other thing is that they will change slightly from organization to organization. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things that I won't say it's a good old boys network, but I will say that, you know, it's one of those things that people just don't take time to pass down, and you have to live it. The one thing I want your audience to remember is, you know, people talk about successes. My successes have inspired me, but my failures have taught me. And so you do have to have a certain amount of battle scars to make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know there are a lot of people who are afraid to fail and might even find themselves paralyzed because of that fear. But I like what you just said, that the success has taught you something and inspired you. But when you made a mistake or when you struggled with something, that's what really...
That's where the learning takes place, absolutely.
And you won't forget either, because usually those troubles and those struggles are pretty tough.
Oh, absolutely.
Why do people find it? Oh, which of the 10 rules did you personally struggle with?
You know, and one thing that I try and be too, Yvonne, is very transparent. You know, in both books, I will share with you my successes and failures and my lessons learned. And there were two of these 10 rules that I struggled with the most. The first was I talk about you learn to embrace constructive conflict. I grew up in corporate America as typically the only one in the room, right? The only black person in the room, and so typically when there was a discussion or a debate and there was conflict, I would kind of become that angry black man, not realizing that at the senior level, you can really have disagreements without being disagreeable. And it was such a problem for me that I actually got sent to an executive coach from Pitney Bowes to kind of work through that. So constructive conflict was one of those things that was difficult for me. One of the other ones that was really kind of a challenge is what I call criticism is a given. When you are a senior leader, you will be criticized no matter what decision you make. And so you need to learn to make decisions based on fact, not emotion, and not on influence. And all you need to do is look to President Obama to see Exhibit A of no matter what the man does, he's getting criticized for it. And so people have to understand, as a senior leader, you will be criticized, so you got to get a thick skin.
Absolutely. You have to get a really, really thick skin. And why is it important to know when and how to walk away? Because that's important, too.
You know, there's two things I tell leaders they have to prepare for. One is the loneliness, and we'll talk about that in a second, and how to walk away. What I encourage everyone to do is do not let who you are get so tied up into your title, because one day you're going to have to leave that title. One day you will be like me, an AARP card-carrying member. You will be the older man, the older woman there, and you will transition to a different place. And if all of who you are is tied up in your title, the minute you no longer have that title, you will struggle. I found very quickly, even though I sit on corporate boards, what have you, people who used to return my calls in 10 minutes sometimes take 10 days now. So, you know, you have to make sure that you know who you are, you're happy with who you are, but you don't value yourself by the title on your business card.
Absolutely. You know, some of the things that were in your book, I highlighted so many things in this book, I cannot tell you. One of the things that came out for me was self-awareness. You said whatever the shortcoming, it's essential that a leader is self-aware enough to understand where he or she is lacking and is committed to continuous improvement, because many a senior leader had a career derailed by ignoring or downplaying the need for continuous growth, right? So do you have an example of a leader that wasn't self-aware? I think I read a couple of stories.
There's a couple of them, and I'll give you one, you know, off the top. And his name is Ron Johnson. And Ron was at Apple, and he was a very successful executive at Apple, and became the CEO at JCPenney. And he went to JCPenney and almost arbitrarily decided to change their selling model from one of having sales to one of they call everyday low pricing models. And not that that was a bad idea, but the two things that he didn't really do is, one, he didn't really listen to the folks around him, and you have to surround yourself with bright people, and you have to listen to them. And he arbitrarily made a decision to very quickly change this model without really talking to customers, talking to vendors. And long story short, his career lasted about a year at JCPenney.
Wow.
And I'll never forget a comment that he made when one of his folks pushed back and said, well, maybe we should pilot this one place instead of doing this nationwide. And his answer was, well, at Apple, we didn't do pilots. And guess what? You're not at Apple anymore. And now he's not at JCPenney anymore. So you have to really, you know, take advantage of your team. You know, a leader should never be afraid to surround themselves with people who are brighter and smarter than they are in a given area. The way I look at leadership is you're a conductor of the orchestra, and you may not be able to play any of the instruments as well as, you know, anyone there, but your leadership as a conductor brings out the harmony of everyone.
Absolutely, and that reminds me of another one of the things I highlighted in your book, which is you wrote that no matter how accomplished you are, you can never underestimate the impact of organizational culture. It can stifle the best of transformation, cripple the best strategic plans, and paralyze the most nimble organization. You may be the leader, but your lofty little title doesn't exempt you from the need to understand the organization's culture. Let's talk a little bit about that. Because that ties right back to Mr. Johnson.
I tell people all the time, and I stole this phrase from someone, you know, strategy is great, but culture eats strategy for breakfast. And so every organization has its own unique culture, and you have to learn to respect that. And I learned that the hard way. I went to Cut Foods, which was a grocery chain, after about, you know, almost 30 years in corporate America, where I wore suits every day for IBM and AT&T and Pitney Bowes. And so I land and I leave New York. I move to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I drive up in my black Mercedes S500. I'm in, you know, tailor-made suits and what have you, and didn't realize right away that that's not the grocery culture. And so fortunately for me, Yvonne, I love feedback. So I had a 360 evaluation done on me probably about 6 months into the role. And the feedback I got was basically, you know, he does a great job. He's not one of us. And when I dug under the covers of that, a lot of it had to do with, you know, the culture there is, you know, they start bagging groceries at 14 and work their way up. And so I was intimidating to a lot of people, and I alienated people. So I couldn't throw away my whole wardrobe. So what I did was I killed a tie, I killed a jacket, and I think I did go to JCPenney and get some sweater vests to wear, because, again, until I fit into that culture in a way that they felt comfortable, I would have never gotten a lot of my initiatives pushed through.
Absolutely. And, in fact, one of the things that I read in the book, as I'm kind of remembering off the top of my head, that I found interesting and I've shared with my students in my leadership and management classes, is the example where you did a focus group and found out that the store shelves were too high for ladies and they couldn't reach the top shelf.
So here's one of the things that, again, as a leader, you have to know, you know, when you don't know something. And so what I did was I pulled together a panel, a focus group of shoppers that were primarily all female, because 85% of all groceries were bought by women. And I said, tell me a few things about why you like shopping with us or why you don't. And one of the things that came up is, you know, the woman said, your shelves are too high. And so I did a little research, and I found out that most of our shelves were 6 feet high. The average woman's 5'4". And so there were some challenges with her reaching that. And so it really launched a program called Project She, Simplify Her Experience, where we did many things. But the two main things, one, we lowered the shelf heights. And the other feedback we got, and this blew me away, Yvonne, was they say, we determine the cleanliness of a grocery store by how clean the women's restroom is. And I, as a guy, would have never thought of that. But, you know, and they went to explain that typically when they're shopping, they have young kids with them, little kids, they have to go. And so their rationale was, if you take the time to clean your restrooms, and primarily the ladies' restroom, then everything else is probably clean. And so I made sure that whenever we had remodels, that I made sure that the ladies' restroom was real nice and made sure they kept it real clean.
So those are two examples of seemingly small things that made all the difference to a company's bottom line.
Oh, absolutely. It made it, you know, it's all about the customer experience. And so we did things to make the customer experience more enjoyable for our main shopper.
Now, here's another thing that from your book. I just love your new book, these corner office books.
Thank you.
Another thing was that I read that really got me going was that as a CEO, people pay attention to what you said. So the red velvet cake thing was really interesting to me.
Yeah, I have to tell that story. One of the things, too, that I wasn't prepared for is when you are the senior CEO, when you're the person, the guy or the gal at the top, everyone looks for any signal or clue they can from you. And so one particular day, I was out visiting stores, just talking to, you know, one of my managers, and I said, you know what, my family for Thanksgiving, we really love red velvet cake. And I said, you know, we just moved here, you know, having a hard time finding red velvet cake, but I'm sure I'll find one. If not, I'll have someone ship me one. That was the only comment I made. About 2 weeks later, Yvonne, I'm in one of my stores, and I see red velvet cake, red velvet donuts, red velvet cupcakes, red velvet donut holes. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, I didn't know people in Minneapolis, you know, they ate like that. And the bakery manager said, well, we were told that you said we have to carry red velvet. Well, I never said that. But what I had to realize and understand is everything about me as a leader gives off cues and signals that people pick up on. When I got there, I was wearing shirts that were French cuff with cufflinks. About a month later, all my direct reports are wearing cufflinks. And I'm like, where'd that come from? And so you just have to understand that you really have a bigger persona, the good and the bad. There's a friend of mine who uses, I'll modify what he says. He says, but, you know, when a monkey goes up, the higher up a tree a monkey goes, the more of his backside you see. And so, you know, when you're up there, it's all on you.
I heard that, yeah. It really, really is. That's very, very true. And then the other thing that I wanted to touch on a little bit is the need for discretion.
Yes.
Because information's power, and you at that executive level need that. Can you tell us a couple of things about that?
Yeah, and it's really part of the, when I talk about how it's lonely at the top, and one of the reasons it's lonely at the top, and I'll give you a few of them and I'll answer your question, is one, and number one is you're privy to information that's typically confidential and that you can't share with anyone. So you know ahead of time, you know, when there's going to be an acquisition or a merger. You know ahead of time when there's going to be a layoff and a downsizing. You know ahead of time when you're going to miss the quarterly results. And so those are things that you know and you can't share with anyone, particularly if you're a publicly traded company. And so because of that, you know, you tend to find yourself kind of in a vacuum. And so I always tell executives to network and join organizations like the Executive Leadership Council, what have you, so you can have like-minded peers, because it can be tough. And I'll give you a real brief example that was just the toughest thing in my career. I was actually sent to Acme Markets in Philadelphia under the guise of I'm coming to help turn that around. Well, in reality, I had been already briefed and had to sign a non-disclosure from the organization saying we're going to sell this business, but we can't tell anybody we're going to sell it. And so you have to go there, and you have to meet with the mayor and the unions and the vendors and pretend like you're going to do this. And about 6 months after you're there, we're going to announce this. Well, you know, 6 months after that when that was announced, I almost needed security to walk around town because – you know, in their minds, I was the guy who came and, you know, closed stores and ultimately sold the business. And so it can be lonely, but it's primarily because of the information you have and that you can't share. And it's painful. I'm human to look at someone who I know is going to be laid off in 90 days through no fault of their own. And so that can make it lonely.
That's true. But I want to also talk about another thing in your book that I really found interesting and that I really liked. And this is taking you back to the front line where you said you created this Coffee with Keith that allowed you to do these YouTube videos, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what that came from, Yvonne, is, again, another thing as a senior leader that you will find very quickly is information gets filtered as it comes up to you to the point where people tell you what they think you want to hear. And so what I was finding, and this is, you know, many organizations I've worked at as a senior leader, is that I wasn't getting the truth. I was getting what people wanted me to know. And so I started doing something called Coffee with Keith every Friday, where basically from 7:30 to 8:30 in one of the big conference rooms, there'd be coffee, donut, fruit. Anyone was welcome to come and ask me whatever they wanted to ask me. And so that opened up the lines of communication and engagement. The other thing is I had 8,000 people working for me at various locations, and there were certain messages as a leader I wanted them to hear from me. I didn't want the message to be transcended down the organization. I wanted to deliver it. And so working with one of my millennials, we put together these 2 to 3 minute YouTube-like videos that we would do, you know, every week, and that way the folks, the rank and file, would hear directly from me what the mission was, what the goals were, and that really helped engagement. And then the third thing I did was, you know, I gave them a feedback mechanism to reach back to me and share with me any thoughts or ideas or questions that they had.
And I thought that that was quite brilliant. The other aspect of that, not the CEO side, but the employee side that I thought was really wonderful was that you said, you know, had this young man that had the nerve to hold a courageous conversation with you, that wouldn't have happened. So that's important too. Approachability.
Yeah. Absolutely. And as a leader, I think it's really incumbent upon you as a senior leader to make sure people know you are approachable and accessible. And so I make it a habit. I speak to everyone from the janitor to, you know, you name it, because, again, I want people to know that, hey, yeah, I have an open door policy. And even if it's closed, leave a message, I'll get back to you. That whole thing came about because a young man sat at my table at one of the staff meetings, and my staff looked at him like, you're not a senior executive. But he was courageous. He sat there, and we had a great conversation. And as a result, I learned something, and we moved the organization forward.
So young people who are listening, don't be afraid to approach your CEOs and build a relationship and share ideas with them, because sometimes it's just what the company needs to actually touch the people who are on the front lines.
Absolutely. The other thing is, and I just want to say this real briefly, is that it's also a great visibility tool, because no one gets to the top, Yvonne, by themselves. Someone who's already on the other side of that glass ceiling has to see you and recognize your value and help pull you through. That young man got promoted 6 months later to a director role at probably 30 years old. Yes.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. So from both sides, it's important for you to know when to speak up and know when to be discreet, and to take chances and use the new mediums to reach as many people as possible. I mean, that video, that YouTube style of communication gave you a chance to talk to way more people than if you had tried to go from store to store to store and meet people and connect with them.
Absolutely, and I created a company intranet. It's like a mini Facebook for the company, and so people were able to post ideas and examples. And so it's, again, you know, as a leader, you don't know everything. There's a chapter right in there. I said, you know, you don't know everything. And so, you know, you have to be open to the fact that there's, you know, others who have ideas. You know your way works, but there are other ways that work.
Yeah, other people have ideas too. And if you don't provide an environment where they feel those ideas can be voiced and heard, then you miss opportunities like the ones we just talked about. Very, very important. Time is really flying. It's we're close to the end of our program already, and I have so many more questions I'd love to ask you. But I just want to right now say, do you have any final words for our listeners, recommendations, ideas, suggestions that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I would tell people, let's continue this dialogue. And so you can follow me on Twitter at Keith Weich. You can go to LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, and we can continue to have this dialogue. The other thing is, this is a book that, you know, again, I would encourage you to get. I talk about things like the meeting before the meeting, and some of the other little secrets that you need to have, you know, as you move up the ladder. So it's really, you know, a chance to kind of get a peek inside the boardroom of how things, you know, work and how you need to behave and act at that level. And always you can go to my website, keithweich.com.
Okay, and by the way, folks, that's KEITHWYCHE, keithweich.com.
That's correct.
Thank you for the wonderful interview, Keith. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I will leave you with this thought for the day from Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo. She said, "I always did something that I was a little not ready to do. I think that that is how you grow. When there's a moment of, wow, I'm not sure I can do this, and you push through those moments, it's then that you have a breakthrough. Sometimes that's a sign that something really great is about to happen. You're about to grow and learn a lot more about yourself." So those of you who want to be a CEO, those of you who want to get close to the CEO, get Keith's book. You can get it at his website, keithweiche.com. And I remind you, please join us on the second Saturday each month. In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. And while you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us feedback on today's show. Thank you so much, Keith. It was a great interview, as always.